We're going to again listen to the word of God as we can find it in Hosea chapter 14. And we also read Psalm 103. Hosea chapter 14. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I've heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Let us also turn to the psalm of praise for the one who healeth our iniquities and our sins, and forgives all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, it says, echoing what we hope to consider tonight. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not chide, always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in heaven, in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, last Sunday, in light of Lord's Supper preparation, we considered the Lord's urgent plea to return. from the first verses of Hosea 14. O Israel, return unto the Lord, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. And this is not only an urgent plea, but as we saw, it is a glorious and gracious plea, especially in the light, as we considered, of the sinfulness of the people of Israel in those dark days. But as much as it is a glorious and gracious plea in those days, so it is in our days, because God is still the same, and our hearts are still as deceitful and in need of redemption as in those days. How beautifully then is it is that God comes, as it were, and as a good shepherd, as a heavenly Father, takes us, as it were, by the hand, as we heard, back to his loving embrace. We heard that we can come not with ourselves, not with anything that we need to make up for, but we can take with us words. And what words he gave to us. A word of confession. Take away all my iniquity. How glorious such a prayer is. A word of commitment. Receive us graciously. Have you prayed that? As you came this evening, maybe. Receive me graciously, Lord. And literally it means, do good unto my soul. Do good unto us. A word of celebration. So will we render the calves of our lips. So we will praise thee, O Lord, with our lips and with our hearts. A word of non-confidence. No, those idols, no longer. They must be gone out of my life. And so, beloved, have we drawn closer this week to the Lord? Have we come examining ourselves? And have we come with these words? Have we come closer to his grace? What grace that he sets those words before us and lays them in our hearts and upon our lips and assures us. And let us repeat those words for a moment. In thee, the fatherless finds mercy. Is there one fatherless here tonight, unloved, lonely, perhaps unworthy, you feel, and forsaken, unprotected? Father protects, right? Maybe you feel worthless. But such sinners find in him mercy, our text says. It showed last Sunday. Undeserved favor, compassion from a gracious God. And tonight we would like to continue our studies. Oh, this would only already be enough to put our hearts, as it were, on thankfulness and adoration. There is a way back to the Lord. And he will receive sinners graciously. That should ignite in us who are so terribly fallen and have destroyed ourselves so terribly in the fall of Adam. That should ignite in us praise, should it not? But this chapter continues with even more glorious truths, promises, and assurances. For all those who come and say, take away all my iniquities. And he is going to do them good. He is going to do them good. He is that, as we hope to see tonight, that gracious soul physician, that doctor who knows what is wrong with our souls and he knows the cure. So that we can come close. And so that he is that one who can embrace our souls in his love for our souls. Even greater love he has for our souls than we have for our souls ourselves. Oh, listen then to our text tonight. Hosea 14 verse 4. Here he promises, here he assures, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. And these words, with God's help, we would like to consider under the theme, restored by the Lord, restored by our soul physician first, and second, by our soul lover. Listen to these words again. Filled with God's grace, aren't they? I will heal their backsliding. What a promise. What a promise of a great physician who knows the sin sickness of your and my soul. What is the sin sickness of Israel here? It's backsliding. Now, what is backsliding? Is it a little mistake? Is it not such a big problem? No, when we read Hosea, the Lord shows that it is a serious problem. It is something that needs to be recovered. Otherwise, it's deadly. A backsliding is faithlessness. It is spiritual adultery. It is asking for divorce papers, we have seen already. In Hosea's day, when you read Hosea, Israel, the people had accepted that backsliding as a lifestyle. I hope there's none here tonight who has done so. I trust not. But a backsliding, just to show how serious it is, we read these words for you in chapter 2 for a moment. There it says that Israel has played a harlot, and that she says there, I will go after my lovers that give me bread and my water and my wool and my flax and my oil and my drink, all those things that give them pleasure. Hosea 4 verse 16 and 17, there it shows how backsliding is something that is willful and stubborn. It says there, for Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer, like a cow that doesn't want to plow. And it says there, Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. That's backsliding. Now, not all backsliding is as serious as this backsliding here in Israel. We need to take that in account. Sometimes we slide back and we don't realize it. Often we don't realize it. But sometimes it's just simply stubborn. Sometimes we are drawn by the things of this world, by the things of time and sense, and we forget about the deceitfulness of our own hearts and the untrustworthiness. And so gradually the fear of the Lord is crowded out by the world. And the tenderness that we ought to have in our hearts for the Lord is not there anymore. And we quench with our sins the Holy Spirit, that tender member of the Trinity. God Himself is withdrawn. And so, whatever your situation is tonight, if you're close, I bless the Lord for it. But if there is here someone who is backslidden, then it is serious. It is serious. One commentator said, if you are not seeking deliverance from sin, even from your darling and besetting sins, surely your case is bad. For the anger of the Lord is not turned away from you. If you don't seek to have your backslidings healed, how is it possible that God should love you? The wrath of God abideth on you. He continues with by warning, deceive not therefore your own souls, ye backsliders in particular, you who have fallen from your first love. Deceive not yourself, for except you repent, God shall remove your candlestick, and your lamp shall go out forever. Examine well your own soul. See whether the world have crept in, whether some accursed weeds and thorns have not choked the seed, so that you bring no fruit to perfection. If you can be easy in such a state, there's reason to fear that you are given up by God. He continues, if you are uneasy about this, but your uneasiness doesn't stir you up to repent, and you don't sincerely seek the Savior's mercy and grace, what then can you expect but to perish by the wounds which your backslidings have made? Still, however, there is mercy in store for those who come and return. God desires not your death, but rather that you turn from your wickedness and live. Oh, then, turn and live. If you continue in your backslidden state and it is not softened and your heart is not softened tonight by repentance, the Lord calls again to you tonight in mercy. And he says to you with the words of Jeremiah, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. Do you hear that? Jeremiah 3, verse 22, return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Oh, isn't that our text? I will heal your backslidings. Absolutely, that's our text. So I'm sure tonight there are those among us whose hearts have been humbled, whose hearts have been softened tonight, and you come, and maybe you're struggling, and your desire is to be closer to the Lord. And your desire is to be more zealous for the Lord. And your desire is to live in greater holiness. And you know the more you want to know more of Christ and of His glorious love and of His forgiveness. I'm sure there are here tonight. Oh, your prayers are characterized, I'm sure, by what we heard last Sunday. Take away all my iniquity. Jeremiah, he puts it so well in Jeremiah 14, verse 7. Oh Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. So a humbled sinner comes and says, Lord, I have nothing. I can plead only the goodness and the grace and the mercy of the Lord tonight. Do it for thy name's sake, Lord. Mercy, gracious, forgiving. Oh, my backslidings are many, Lord. I have sinned against thee. Oh, believer, doesn't that echo with your heart tonight? Jeremiah prays on in 17, verse 14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Don't you say in your heart, I know the Lord can heal me. I know He can save me. He is all I need. If that reflects your heart tonight, then do not doubt that He can heal you. Do not doubt that He will heal you, that He will save you. He says it in our text, doesn't He? Loud and clear, I will heal your backslidings. He promises it. He does. And as He heals, He sometimes needs to teach us lessons, doesn't He? To correct us, to chastise us, or whatever is good in His eyes. Israel tried to be healed by Assyria. It says they send to King Jareb. It says, and yet he could not heal you nor cure you of your wound. And there is a tendency to go to the wrong places by nature. Israel tried, just like Naaman. Children, do you remember Naaman? He was full of leprosy. Where did he go? He first went to the king of Israel. He thought, the king can help me. No, he couldn't. He couldn't. And then he came to Elijah with his illness, and he thought, yeah, he's going to strike over it, and he's going to do this, and he's going to do that. And his expectations were dashed. No, Elijah simply sent his servant Gehazi and told him, go and wash your 7 times in the Jordan. Maybe there are perhaps some tonight here who have wrong expectations how God heals us. Are we the ones who prescribe our soul doctor how we ought to do things in our lives? What is the task of a patient? Is it not to take the medicine that he prescribes? What is the task of the doctor? To see what is the problem in our lives and then to prescribe the remedy, the appropriate remedy. But oh, sometimes the pride of our hearts. We want to turn this around. We want to prescribe what he must do. As if we can save ourselves. And that's why Israel sought to be healed. And that's why it came with words. Yes, he has torn us. He will heal us. He has smitten. He will bind us up. But they were not willing to take the remedy. Are you, by the grace of God tonight, willing to take that remedy, that bittersweet remedy of repentance that softens our hearts? Or do you want to have the remedies of this world, the pleasant remedies, the easy way, the way to destruction? But even to such people tonight, who even when remedies are offered, take the wrong remedies, have the pride of their heart still against them, even to those, the Lord, in His amazing grace, He does not give up. He searches for such tonight. He said how willing He is in Hosea 7 verse 1. I would have healed Israel. Just as we heard from our text. I will heal their backsliding. He's willing. How this should every broken heart tonight, every broken hearted sinner, give courage to you tonight. When you have come to Him and say, take away all my iniquities, the answer is, I will do so. I will heal all your backslidings. And why does the Lord focus on backslidings? Yes, because the book of Hosea is about backslidings, but yes, because backslidings is the worst of sins, the greatest of sins. So if He can heal the greatest of sins, backslidings, spurned love, then He can heal all your soul maladies tonight. Every one of them. He can thoroughly cure them. Oh, let us realize tonight, and may we experience that the soul physician is among us to touch us with His word and with His spirit. As He says to us tonight, I will heal your backslidings. Because He knows the cure. He knows how to make us spiritually healthy and thriving again. Don't you remember the name that God gave Himself when Israel just came out of Egypt? What was the name that God revealed Himself by? Jehovah Rapha, which means, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He promised that all the sicknesses of Egypt would not cling to His people if they would walk in His ways. There was physical healing there. But how much more true this is about our sin-sick souls tonight. I am the Lord that healeth thee, Jehovah Rapha. I will heal your backslidings, the worst of your sins. He has a remedy for each one of them in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, look at Jesus when He walked the earth. What did He do? He cured one soul, one illness after another. He showed that He can heal people. There was blind Bartimaeus. He touched his eyes. There was the woman with the issue of blood. She had spent all her money. Have you perhaps spent all your money at the wrong doctors and you're at the end of your resources tonight? Good, good. Because then Jesus can do something tonight. He healed that crippled man that lay sick for years in Bethesda. Oh, those were visible sermons of what He can do with our souls. Are there such souls tonight? Is there a blind Bartimaeus who is calling louder and louder, Lord, have mercy, have mercy. Oh, that you would tonight know what it means that He opens blind eyes. Is there a woman with the issue of blood tonight? You've tried everything. You spend a lot of money on the wrong doctors. But so far, you have stayed away from the one doctor who can truly help you. His name is Jesus. Oh, that you would come to him tonight and just simply touch the hem of his garment and healing virtue comes out of him. That's Jesus. That's our soul doctor. Oh, is there someone tonight who's waiting perhaps for the stirring? For years you've laid crippled, waiting for the stirring of the water. You've always been too late. That's how it feels. Oh, that you come tonight to God's house and that you would experience there is power in Jesus to heal. Rise up, take your bed and walk. For sin-crippled souls, live. Be healed. The gospel is for those who are troubled. The gospel is for those who are plagued by their sins. Are there such tonight? The Lord Jesus is our soul's physician himself. He says it clear, loud and clear to the Pharisee that he came for sinners, soul sick sinners. Not for those who are whole, who don't need a physician, but for those who are sick. Oh, listen then to Jesus Christ. He is the soul doctor you need tonight, and I need tonight. Oh, don't you remember those words, those precious words of Isaiah, when it says that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him? Why? What for? He was sent to bind up, like a good doctor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. An opening of prison to those that are bound. Are you bound tonight? He can break your shackles. I will heal their backslidings. Christ is able to heal the greatest of sinners tonight. And notice for a moment, focus on this word for a moment. I will. I will. Not you. Not me. Not anyone else. I will. Because he's the only one who can. So lay your heart open tonight before, Lord, take away all my sicknesses, heal all my diseases, the diseases of my soul. Have mercy upon me. He has promised to heal here, right in our text tonight. Let's look at a moment then what God has as a treatment plan to heal. For the people in the days of Hosea, he had a wonderful treatment plan for his backsliding and spiritual adulterous people. As a faithful soul doctor, he doesn't just bandage it over. No, no, no. He knows where there is spiritual cancer. Where the knife needs to go. Listen to his treatment plan. It's found in chapter 2 of Hosea. Listen to again to his I wills. I will. There are many of them. Verse 6. I will hedge up her ways with thorns. So there you see the surgeon. He takes his knife with precision. And that is painful. That is painful. So Gomer will feel all the thorns wherever she is going, all the discomfort when she wants to go her own way. That's what God does with his people. And that's his grace. That's his grace when he does so. When he makes our sins painful to us. It's his grace. Verse 10. I will discover her lewdness. That is shameful. Her sins will be exposed for others to see. But that's the treatment plan that God has in mind for his people. In Hosea's days, this meant exile. And the Lord still exposes the folly of our sins in all kinds of different ways. The folly of our sin, he exposes in order to heal. Verse 11, I will cause her mirth to cease. In other words, the Lord will take the joy out of our sins. Oh, what grace. What grace. Sin will no longer give us happiness. Has he done so in your life? What grace. Verse 12. I will destroy her vines and fig trees. No, the Lord doesn't like half measures. Those vines and fig trees brought the temptation of drunkenness and feasting to them in those days. When the Lord does this in our lives, he does it to make room for himself, to make us hungry for himself, that he would become the joy of our souls. Verse 13, I will visit upon her the days of Balaam. In other words, God will punish her appropriately for forsaking and forgetting him, chastise her appropriately. Verse 14. Oh, this is the most gracious one of all. Verse 14. I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. Isn't that beautiful? There, in the difficulties of life, in the wilderness, all on our own, the Lord will come and win her heart. And he will take with him words. Isn't that what it says? Speak comfortably unto her. He takes with him words. Words of comfort. Words of forgiveness. Words of healing. Words of love. That's the treatment plan of our Savior, of the soul physician. He comes to make sin painful, to expose it, to take away the joy out of it, to make us hungry for ourselves, to come with appropriate chastisement for those who are backslidden. And then he gives words of comfort. He draws our hearts close to himself. Do you recognize that in your life? Times when he did so? Bless the Lord when he did so. Bless the Lord. Then he has been healing you from your backslidings. Now what will we say when we are undergoing such treatment? We say an answer with an I will too. Verse 7 of chapter 2. I will go back. For then was it better with me than now. I will go back. Do you hear the voice of the prodigal returning? He draws with words of comfort. I will heal their backslidings. And the bride says, I will go back. It's successful. It is successful. When he empties us of ourselves, he can be everything to us. He can be everything to our soul. Is this your prayer tonight? Psalm 41, verse 4, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. And listen to God's I will in Isaiah 33:6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and I will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. He uncovers for us what peace and truth he can give in our souls and in our lives. Peace and truth through Jesus Christ. When he just as Hosea tells us, gave himself on the cross in chapter 6, echoing those words, he was torn. So that we can be healed. He was smitten afflicted, so that we can be bound up with the ointment and with the bandage of the gospel, with his mercy. By his stripes, we are healed, Isaiah tells us. Oh, isn't he the one who was 2 days in the grave and the third day he rose again? Still echoing chapter 6. And now he lives in God's sight. Oh, that's how he heals us too. He heals us from our spiritual deadness. He revives us, as we hope to hear coming Sunday, by his Spirit. And he raises us out of the graves of our spiritual deadness. And he makes us live in his sight. He gives us new life. What grace, what mercy. And he makes us truly spiritual healthy. Oh, don't you want to sing about it? Don't you want to sing for joy tonight of a God who heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, who for Christ's sake forgives all our iniquities, as we considered from Psalm 103, and heals all our diseases? Let's do that together from Psalter 277, stanzas 1 through 3 and 6 through 8. Restored by our soul physician, and secondly, restored by our soul lover. From Isaiah, from Jeremiah 3, verse 14, we heard it already. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. And the Lord says, I will heal your backslidings. It's for that purpose, so that we can enjoy this marriage bond with him. That we can enjoy the covenant that he's made in his blood, as we hope to celebrate coming Sunday. That he has bound himself to us in love through Jesus Christ. That he heals our sicknesses and his soul's diseases. And that he loves us freely, as our text says. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Let's focus on the last part first. Well, do we feel loved when someone is angry with us? No, we don't, right? Everyone knows. And we all know, if we are humbled tonight by our sins, that our sins do provoke the Lord. That he is holy and just, and that he hates sin, and that we deserve his wrath by nature. But when his children have sinned, he comes with chastisement. Fatherly chastisement. Because he is a jealous God, tonight he comes to us with a promise to assure, when we are those who come back to him by faith, through the Holy Spirit. And he says, I will turn away my anger from my people. It is often the last thing a brokenhearted, a returning and restored sinner expects. We expect anger. But he gives grace. He gives grace. The Lord's Supper form puts it in such beautiful words. Let's listen to that for a moment. When we come to the table, we are to be confidently persuaded that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly. And then it shows how, especially during his suffering, Christ earn that freedom from the wrath of God for us. In the garden, he bound so that we might be freed from our sins. Suffering innumerable reproaches, the form says, so that we might never be disappointed, confounded. innocently condemned to death, so that we might be acquitted, so that we might go free at the judgment seat of Christ. Nailed to that blessed cross with his holy body, so that he might fix the handwriting that was against us on it, and taking upon himself the curse that is due unto us, suffering hellish agonies and the wrath of God, forsaken, so that we, what? Might be accepted. Accepted of God, of the Beloved, in the Beloved, and never, ever forsaken of him. You see that? Wrath is taken away. And when we come to the Lord's Supper, we confess that we know something. Maybe we say, I want to know more. I want to know more. We come and know something of this joy and this assurance, something. For mine anger is turned away from him. We confess that what he has done there at that cross is for my benefit. He's turned away the anger for my sins. Isaiah 12 verse 1 says, in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. You see, when we believe in Jesus Christ, however weak our faith is, that's not the issue. The Lord's Supper is there to strengthen that faith. We know something of the joy that God has taken away his wrath. We know something of the joy that is expressed in the words of Psalm 85, turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. And then it says that mercy and truth, they unite, and righteousness and peace, they kiss each other. And God speaks to us peace to our souls. And he says, no, don't walk in folly anymore. Don't turn back to folly. And that's what faith sees in Jesus Christ, that righteousness and peace are in his blood, through him, mercy and truth. Yes, the truth of holiness, the truth of God's justice, the truth of God's righteousness, all in Jesus Christ, full of mercy, all met together. They kiss each other. They have perfect peace, perfect harmony. And that's what faith sees and believes. And he who believes, the wrath of God does not abide on that person anymore. But he who doesn't believe, the wrath of God abides on him. That's what the word says. It's faith given by God through his Spirit that shows us he loves us so deeply. And what an amazing picture there is in the book of Hosea. Do we remember? Gomer gone astray. Gone after other lovers. But Hosea goes with love in his heart. And he goes and he finds her. He finds her. And he finds her in bondage. He has to pay for her. He has to pay the price to redeem her. That's what God does. He redeems us from destruction, we just sang. He redeems our souls. Instead of saying, now you look out for yourself and for your own business, you help yourself, he says, I will pay for her. That's what he did on the cross. That high price, showing how much he loves her. Oh, what a glorious picture of the love of Jesus Christ, is it not? He redeems us from the wrath of God over our sins. And he takes it away, takes it away. What love is this? What love is this? And that brings us to that glorious last part of our text, maybe the most glorious of our text. I will love them freely. Freely. Did you hear it? I will again. I will. God will do it. I will. It comes after backsliding, after he's healed her. Then after he has restored us, after he has shown us that the wrath of God is covered over. Now our hearts can open up and appreciate his love and receive his love. And receive the promises and receive this wondrous love. What wondrous love is this? Tell me. Well, go back to chapter 1 more time tonight. Once more we notice the I wills. I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, in judgment, in loving kindness, and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. And thou shalt know, intimately know, the Lord. That's what God says to his Gomer, his black bride. I will remarry you. You've been unfaithful. But listen, I have been faithful. Look at the cross. And his love, as we see in these words, is not just fleeting emotion up and down. No. It's anchored in eternity. It cannot be changed. It's an eternal choice that he has made. Hosea 2 verse 19 and 20 says, I will betroth thee unto me forever. Forever. Isn't that glorious? Jeremiah 31 says the same. I have loved you with an eternal love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. There in the wilderness, I will speak comfortably to your soul. I've drawn thee with loving kindness. What love is this? What wondrous love is this? This is faithful love, secondly. It's eternal love, it's faithful love. God's love is based on his eternal plan. I will betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. 2 Timothy 3, 2 verse 13 says, if we believe not, if we are faithless, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He will ultimately save his bride in faithfulness. Wherever she is, however deep she has sinned, he will go after us in faithfulness, in eternal love, in faithful love. He is committed to her forever, fully committed to the very end. This is faithful love for an unfaithful bride. What wondrous love is this? Let's ask the question again. Well, this is willing love. I will love them freely. That is willingly, voluntarily, generously. No constraint, but only out of his eternal good pleasure, out of his heart. It came, not based on our performance, not based on what you and I have done, not based on the opinions of other people. No, this is God's love is free. It's sovereign. I will love them freely, it says here in our text. Some have translated it, I will love them with all my heart, with boundless love. What love is this? This is willing love. that comes to us despite our sins. We can't earn it. We can't force it. We can't make it up. It comes. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. And that is the basis for his love, not our performance. But therefore, there is hope for those who cry out, "Mercy, Lord, mercy," and knock on the door of mercy, of a merciful God. They will receive an open door. I will love them freely. There's hope in him, in Jesus Christ. He loves us freely. Now we have received, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. It's the spirit that opens our heart to see these things, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. Gift, not earned. Willing. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely? There you have the word again. Give us all things, all everything you need. He's that sole physician that can give everything you need. That's how much he loves us. Oh, let's ask the question again. What wondrous love is this? And let's give another answer. This is joyful love. The Bible shows us over and over that this is the love of a bridegroom to his bride. Yes, better than that. Isaiah 62 shows us that those who were forsaken and desolate will be loved by the Lord again. It says it like this: "For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee." Do you see that? God rejoices over his people. You wouldn't say so when you listen to the devil and to your own unbelieving heart. No, then you say something different. He probably doesn't love me. But God says here in his word, "I rejoice over my people." This is no begrudging love. This is full joy. This is full of delight. This love is full of delight over his people. Because why? Well, he doesn't see sin in his bride. She is spotless and beautiful through the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. His anger is turned away from her. That's why he can rejoice in her. Exult over her with joy. Sing over her. Listen to Zephaniah. He puts it so beautifully. "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save." He will heal, we can say with our text tonight. "He will rejoice over thee with joy and rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." Can you picture it? It's a picture of God, of course, humanly speaking. But oh, Jesus, he has a body. He can sing over his people. He saves, he heals all your diseases, your sin-sick soul, and he rejoices over Gomers who have gone astray, who come and return, who come and are rescued, and who are redeemed, and who are restored. Gomers. He saves, he heals. And then he will rest in his love. Do you see the picture? He will be satisfied. He will be content to love her, to be with her, to spend time with her, to have her on the table, and to one day have her forever and ever and ever. No, there is no word of displeasure. No, no, no. There's words of comfort. There's words of comfort. And then there's the picture of he will joy over her with singing. That must be deep, heartfelt joy and delight over such a black bride, such an unworthy bride, but made worthy by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He loves to be with her. He loves to be with sinners who come to him in repentance, find mercy, find healing, and see with the eye of faith the wrath of God is turned away in Jesus Christ. He comes and invites them on his table for this coming Lord's Day to celebrate his healing love. It's a wedding rehearsal for a greater day. So, beloved, let us not make the mistake this week what the Lord's Supper is all about. It's not about us. It's not about our love. It's about his love. For such sinners as we are, his love is eternal. It's faithful. It's free. It's joy-filled. It's beyond expression. It's based on his work. And if you focus the rest of this week on the Lord's I wills, let us pray that his love, his joy, his healing comes down upon us with streams of living water gushing down from heaven. That it is ignited by his joy. That it is preparing us to one day be spotless and presented before the throne of his glory through their blood. Because he brought us back. He restored us. Oh, beloved, this is an inexpressible love. I can't find good words to express it. And this is inexpressible joy. But may the Lord ignite it in our hearts. Through Jesus, because he keeps his marriage vows. It's his faithfulness. Amen.